Transmission commence in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Level 7.
RandomChatter.com presents
the Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
Do you copy?
Perimeter breach.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case files.
Authorizing.
Just call us S.H.I.E.L.D.
Access granted.
Colson, get back to base.
Welcome back, agents. I trust you've all been suitably briefed on the most recent encounter. We'll be your hosts on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. I'm Director Shepard.
And I'm Director Stolte.
And you've been authorized to undergo debriefing on the most recent mission from Agent Coulson and his operatives, presented to the public as a dramatic hour-long television series known as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Fortunately, you are all cleared to know the truth. You know, Josh, I remember about a year ago when we did that podcast for Slingshot, and I thought we should just play that now for everybody.
What a great idea.
It's our own little flashback here on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. It doesn't work as good on our show.
That should be the official sound for all flashbacks on TV.
the Wayne's World.
Yeah. And they should make the actor do it. Like, you know, every time Oliver Queen has a flashback, he should just.
Oh, my gosh. If they did that for an episode of Arrow, that would be hilarious. I think that's great. So, yeah, this is kind of a special. Special episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files before the show actually returns to ABC. We will be talking about the short, what would you call this? Like webisodes, I guess, that aired on ABC.com before the holidays.
Right. This is our series of 2-minute podcasts covering the digital series Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Slingshot. And
okay,
so,
cool. Yeah. All right, well, that's all we've got for this week then, and I guess we'll be back next week with the next 2-minute episode.
That's right. Stay tuned.
No, see, it's great because it's look and 2 minutes right there. So,
be quick downloads.
Yeah, people would be surprised, I would have to say. So, I thought this was a unique and interesting thing that they did. There was something that S.H.I.E.L.D. did, I believe, during... Was it the first or second season where they had little webisodes, but it was more like
more promotional things?
Yeah, it was. What was it? It was like they had some people and they trained them, quote unquote, to be agents.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
it was kind of a reality show thing. And a lot of times they're commercials for a product, you know, because they're hosted by sponsored. Yeah, yeah, by somebody. These were presented by Geico, just in case you were wondering.
Yeah, and in case anybody ever wants to know what's going on with the Geico chameleon or whatever lizard,
yeah,
he finds a Cheeto like 6 times in a row in a computer. I saw the same Geico commercial over and over. that's my one issue with you know, watching these types of things online that are sponsored by you know, big broadcast stations. You know, they'll always put commercials in there, which is, you know, how they make money and stuff.
Yeah.
But they show the same commercial over and over and over.
It's like when I was watching the Olympics on through the computer, when they'd go to the TV break, you'd go to commercial 2, but they'd only have like 5 commercials in total, and they would run it for as long as you were in commercial. So like you kept seeing, again, same thing. You just kept seeing the same commercials over.
And what's kind of sad is that it takes me about that many times to even realize what the commercial's about anymore, because I just kind of zone out. And I'm like, I finally, about the 5th or 6th time, I said, maybe I should listen to this. I don't even know what they're promoting. But
yeah, I was surprised that they didn't try to find some way to put the product into the show. But that goes in the plus column for me. I thought that this was an ambitious project, because it wasn't just a, like you said, a promotional video like they'd done before. It was actually trying to tell a continuing piece of the story, very much like the Marvel one-shots, which I have been missing very much on the DVD and the Blu-ray releases since we got the The Last King or something like that, whichever one had had Trevor in it when he was in prison after Iron Man 3.
Yeah. Yeah, and I really like those. To me, it kind of gave you know how you'd go into the comic shop and every once in a while you'd see just like a single issue of a comic that was interesting to you. Yeah, I mean a one-shot comic, right? Yeah, so I liked them because it had a connection to the whole universe, but usually they were fun. You know, but they involved the character somehow. I mean, look at what it did for Coulson. I mean, I think those probably helped push the decision over the edge to give Coulson his own series, because of the popularity of him in the movies and the one shot.
Right. A funny thing happened on the way to Thor's Hammer. Hands down, the best Marvel one shot that they've done. But also Agent Carter too. I think that one helped provoke ABC into saying, well, you know, I think we will greenlight the Agent Carter TV series. That was a really interesting one-shot as well. So these six episodes, I mean, you joke about it being 2 minutes long, but I think the longest episode was like 6 minutes and 10 seconds, which... once you get all the commercial, or not the commercials, but all the credits and stuff out of there, it's less than that. And then the shortest one was like 3.5 minutes. So put them together, I think they're all, it's like around a 25 minute, between a 22 and a 25 minute episode. So it's basically the same amount of content as a half hour TV series, or maybe even a little bit more.
I really wondered, as I was watching them, I wondered if it was something possibly that they had filmed to put in the episodes proper and decided to cut them out for time or whatever. I don't know. I don't know that they did. I mean, it was so structured that I'm not sure that that is what they did, but it just made me think whether that was something that might've been written in originally.
That's a good question. Also, cause I have some thoughts about that. So actually, what was your next point? Cause hold that first one. Cause I want to talk about that a little bit later.
Well, this is a little separate. We can talk about that, but I am hoping these show up on a DVD set and maybe possibly the season 3 DVD set that still hasn't come out. So they probably won't, just because I don't know when this was produced, but still, I hope it shows up eventually.
Well, that would be amazing. I didn't even really think about the fact that, I mean, as the next, well,
a nice once
a DVD
feature.
Set comes out, it would be nice.
Exactly.
So we could think about that. Well, hey, why don't you tell us about what episodes we're talking about, and then we can get into a little more depth. And like I said, I had a couple things that I was thinking about, the structure, and we can talk about what the episodes were about and what people are missing or not missing by watching them or not watching them.
Well, because they were so short, I'll just kind of cover the overall summary of the entire short series here. But they were written, directed by a variety of people. So let me just share each episode with you here so you get a kind of a taste of who did which one. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'll have to go back and see if those correlate to any of the writers and directors of episodes.
Writers of the first two episodes are writing, I believe, either the next week's episode or the week after's episode. I think this might have been like a tryout for
could have been.
Writers to come onto the show.
That's a great way to do that.
It's like a new talent showcase right here.
Yeah, what a fantastic idea. Well, okay, anyway, let me get into that here. So Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Slingshot, which was, I guess, originally, posted online?
Yeah, posted is good.
December 13th of 2016, so it was a nice little holiday stocking stuffer. That's what it felt like to me, you know? Nice little gift from ABC.
Yeah.
The six episodes in this order were Vendetta. That was written by John C. and Sharla Oliver, directed by Joe Quesada.
Mm-hmm.
The second episode was called John Hancock, which I liked. That was my favorite title of all of them.
That was good. That might have been my favorite episode, I think.
Maybe so, yeah. It was also written by John C. and Sharla Oliver, and it was directed by Felix Farnell. That's how you say his name there.
Yeah.
Third episode, Progress, written by George Kitson and directed by Keith Potter. Fourth episode was called Reunion, written by Aydin Bogdanci, And directed by Chris Cerami.
Hey, you're doing really well this week.
I didn't practice these beforehand. I should have looked at them.
Wow, Episode five. You should not practice every week.
You're probably right. Episode 5, Deal Breaker, written by, oh, now this one was Aidan Bagdachi and Mark Leitner. Had a little help on that one, and directed by John P. Gordon. And then, oh, see, now I don't even know how to pronounce this last one. Justicia?
Justicia.
Justicia. It was written by Mark Leitner and directed by Mark Kolpak. So I'll kind of give you a rundown of credits of people that worked on these. All right. Well, now, before you and I get too settled back into work for the new year and the boss calls us in to ask about our behavior at the holiday party, let's just make sure that you and I, you know, we touch base to get our story straight.
Get story straight, right.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
That's a lesson that I took from Elena Yo-Yo Rodriguez, you know, in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. online mini episodes here that we're going to talk about. See what happens. Yo-Yo, she kind of catches Daisy in the middle of her daily workout one morning, you know, and they have a heart-to-heart conversation about the day they met up when Daisy was on the run. And if you remember, that was more flashback than present day in this series. But and now if you remember at the beginning of this season, Yo-Yo was working with Daisy in secret, right? And we didn't know much about the whole situation. So this kind of clears up some of those details. So,
this story is the little asterisk that appeared at the bottom of the episode at the beginning of season 4 that said, you know, previously, in a previous episode, editor, you know, it's like
yeah.
the little footnote.
So that's when we cue those flashbacks to early last year. I mean, by last year, I mean, you know, 2016, by early in this season,
yeah,
as Coulson was stepping down as head of S.H.I.E.L.D. I guess this would have been before season 4. So
this was, this fits in between season 3 and season 4. So this would have been last summer, basically.
Right. On stuff that we did not see. This is Coulson was stepping down as head of S.H.I.E.L.D., packing up his stuff. And as he is, Yo-Yo receives a very special gift from the former director, right before she tries to tell him about a new threat from her old home in Colombia. Victor Ramon has been working hand in paw with the watchdogs to go after inhumans, and they have a new weapon. Now, Yo-Yo gets pretty wily, and she manages to steal some information and fool all of S.H.I.E.L.D. to track down Ramon. Well, you know, everyone but May.
Oh.
Once she does, she bumps into Daisy, and it all goes downhill from there. And that's why our zippy little hero better shake out all the details with her inhuman buddy before Director Mace ends up getting the wrong idea and turns his smile upside down.
Remember, a team that trusts is whatever, you know.
Well, we just really went back to obnoxious Mace in this one because it was earlier in the year. So
yeah. Well, he was new. He, you know, nobody really knew him, and doggone it, that's great. You know,
it was very interesting to watch this after what we have seen this season. You know, after these characters have kind of changed a little bit, it was different to see him like this again.
Must have been a little difficult for the actors too, because I'm assuming that this was produced closer towards the end of the year, and you know, to have these actors have to go back and say, all right, now we're gonna. You know, because like you said, it's a flashback mostly, but it takes place before the fourth season. So at the very beginning of the episode, it, you know, it's like, I would assume it's now. It's between episode, what are we at, 8 and 9, I guess. So, you know, I'm assuming it happened, you know, the day after they settled the thing with Ghost Rider, because Daisy's back with the team. And she knows she's going to have to answer some questions, but she hasn't quite done all that yet. You know, so I enjoyed it immensely. It really just fits right in with the continuity of where this is. You know, it's really episode, you know, 8.5 from season 4.
So, yeah. And it gave you a little insight into Elena there. So I liked that also.
Yeah. So now, like we had said before the break, these episodes are available on abc.com. They're available on the ABC app on your mobile device. And then you said ABC has also posted them on YouTube now as well?
Yep. Yeah, you can go to YouTube, do a little search for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Slingshot. You'll see the ABC account, and they've posted them all in one tidy little I don't know what you call them, folder, I guess, on YouTube. You know, you just click the first one and it just plays through all six of them.
Oh, so it's a playlist. That's what it is.
Yeah. Oh, playlist. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, cool. Well, that's great. Yeah, especially if you're, for whatever reason, ABC is blocked on your, network at work or something like that. Well, if that's blocked, YouTube probably is blocked too, but who knows? So. And another interesting piece of news, there was, I don't know if you saw it, there was an Instagram photo that Gabriel Luna posted. I believe it was him that posted it. Anyway, he was in it. That's Ghost Rider. And he was with one of the producers or writers or directors or production staff or just some other dude. But the point was that they were in the, they were in like the writer's room or something. And there was a big board behind him that had the names of the four episodes that haven't been announced yet, episodes 411 through 414. So I just wanted to take a moment and share the episode titles for the upcoming LMD portion of the season. So far, we know that next week's episode is called Broken Promises, and then the episode after that is called Patriot, The Patriot, which I'm assuming is going to have something to do with Mace and his character. And then the four unannounced episodes are called Wake Up, Hot Potato Soup, Boom, all in capital letters, so it could be B-O-O-M, but actually I'm assuming it's just, you know, like an explosion sound. And then The Man Behind the Shield. So I thought that was pretty cool. Hey, and as I've been talking here, I noticed that you had to move out onto maneuvers real quick because we aren't back on our regular schedule yet. So I appreciate you, trying to stay connected with me as you head out to the field.
Oh yeah, well, I always just like to keep in touch with everybody, no matter what I'm doing. So that's if you hear any large explosions or karate chops or anything like that, just ignore that.
Karate chops, like hi-ya kind of stuff?
Yeah, that kind of thing. Or just, you know, if I'm getting hit during these maneuvers as I practice and things, if it sounds like a board breaking across my face, that's just, it's just me practicing becoming the best agent that I can.
Wow. That is dedication, Josh.
Well, I try.
Yeah. So, or it could be snow on your roof that's causing your internet to collapse.
Oh yeah, I suppose it could be that too.
Yeah, so. Hey, let's hope I'm going to knock on something hard here. Hang on. And let's hope that, nothing falls through your roof or leaks.
Yeah. I hope not either. It's very, very cold here. So,
yeah,
so. We're getting by.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about these episodes. You had speculated at the top of the show about, you know, when they might have shot these, or that they possibly had shot them to be integrated in with the regular season or something like that. Like,
sure,
like extra sections, or what do I want to say? Like
just additional scenes, right? Yeah, the little subplots that take place. Or, and if they didn't shoot them, maybe they wrote them but didn't end up using them or something. I don't know. I just felt like they belonged in there at some point.
It felt really tight in that aspect, didn't it, though?
Yeah.
To make you think.
It's kind of like, remember Lost, you know, when you would watch episodes of Lost and they would have an episode in there somewhere that was a different character's point of view or perspective from something that happened earlier in the season or even the series, you know.
Yeah.
You couldn't hardly tell with that series, but yeah. But eventually they all kind of merged together and fit.
Right. Well, I mean, just the fact that these all have different writers and directors than previous episodes makes me think that, you know, they were designed specifically for what they are. But I'm wondering, like you, your thought that they came up with the ideas for this while they were working on the rest of the season. And I'm wondering if they knew this backstory going into the season, or if it was something that they discovered, hey, you know what? We jumped so much time between season 3 and season 4. Maybe we need to explain a couple other things, like they realized that, you know, we really didn't explain why was Yo-Yo working with Daisy. Not that it, I don't think it bothered either of us. That wasn't something that I remember us talking about, but I thought it was, you know, it's, if I'm watching a show and I feel like they skip something and I need that information, even if they put it into a supplemental thing, it might be cool, but I always will feel was lacking, because you shouldn't feel like you're missing something when you're watching the show. It should just move, and that's how it is. So this really does feel, you know, it's like a bonus. It's really just extra entertainment for us.
Right, right. Like I said, a stocking stuffer, a gift.
And I thought that Natalia Cordova Buckley, I've enjoyed seeing her character on the show, but she really was front and center. She carried this entire series, and she did a really incredible job. She's a lot funnier than I have seen her on the regular weekly show.
Well, I think she had the opportunity to expand her character a little bit more because she's not on it much on the regular show. But
yeah, yeah.
Interesting character. Now, Yo-Yo is a character in the comics, yeah?
Yeah, I seem to recall, I mean, she was part of the Secret Warriors title when that came out that we've talked about here on the show before, but I don't know if she was originally created for that series or if she debuted someplace else.
Well, she first appeared in 2008, so I don't know. I can't recall the dates of the Secret Warriors, but so I'm not sure, again, like you, what she was created for, but
it was around that time, so.
Yeah, by Brian Michael Bendis and Alex Maleev.
Okay. Oh, they said, it says here she first showed up in Mighty Avengers number 13.
Oh, okay.
Which was that episode, that issue, but she became more well-known or got more exposure in Secret Warriors. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, and in the comics, she is the daughter of the Griffin, who is he looks like a griffin, and he's a bad guy, but she's not. So.
Well, that's good.
So what's interesting is in the comics, Elena Rodriguez is called Yo-Yo. That's her code name. Now, Mac has been calling her Yo-Yo, but my supposition based – I don't think I read anything else about this, but just based on the title of this webisode, I'm guessing that she is – her nickname here or her code name for the series is Slingshot. But maybe that's supposed to mean something else. I'm not sure. I didn't know if you had heard anything else about that.
No, I hadn't. I kind of just associated the Slingshot with the way her powers work. You know, she's not like your typical comic book speedster. That's not exactly.
Right. Right. Well, and the fact that,
exactly. So that reminds me of the Slingshot, I guess, but, it did kind of seem like her code name was Slingshot in this, didn't it?
Yeah, and which is weird because Slingshot is the code name for a SHIELD space program or something. There was something that they got back in season one, and they put it on like a rocket and sent it off in space, and they were calling that Project Slingshot or the Slingshot or something like that. So,
well, a Slingshot, like you pull it back and you release it. And it shoots things forward, which is kind of the way her powers work. She doesn't have to pull herself back, right?
Yeah.
But it does. Don't her powers work more like a yo-yo? That's the kind of the thing, right? She goes back and forth. maybe it has something to do, and we'll see it as we talk through this, with something to do with what happened to her in this.
Yeah, because I'm trying. I mean, you know, a slingshot is a. It's a weapon that's used to, you know, fire small projectiles, you know, very much like it's to me, I kind of think of it like a bow and arrow, right? It's kind of a primitive weapon that shoots things. But yeah, I hadn't really put all that together. You know, it's just kind of a cool code name and stuff like that. So, so we find out why Elaine is working with S.H.I.E.L.D. or how she's working with S.H.I.E.L.D. and stuff, and also. It ties up the little plot line that we got at the end of season three with the Victor Ramon, who is the corrupt police director or general or whoever it is from her hometown that killed her cousin. I mean, that was some stuff that we actually saw in one of the episodes last year. So she joins up and. We get to see actually a character signing the Sokovia Accords, which we've heard a lot about in Captain America: Civil War. So there's some banter in the second episode, in the John Hancock episode, with Mace telling her about the Sokovia Accords and all the, you know, constraints that are on her and things like that. And she really seems to take offense at that. She thinks that there's a lot less freedom now, at least for herself, and also with the stuff that that Fitz is talking about. Do you think that who benefits from the Sokovia Accords? Is it really a good thing for the Inhumans to register like this, or is it tracking program?
That goes all the way back to Captain America. I mean, the movie, Civil War, whether you agree with this or not, who benefits from this? In my personal perspective, I think the only people that benefit from this are, the government. Well, anybody that wants to keep powered people in check, that's who benefits from this. I don't see any real benefit from the Sokovia Accords from any Inhumans or any powered people. I'm not sure what benefit it would serve them. Mm-hmm. I mean, they say it is to protect them, but I don't know that it does that in any real capacity.
Well, let me ask you it from this perspective. I mean, because obviously S.H.I.E.L.D. is the show draws a lot of real world parallels with plot lines they talk about. Obviously not like people with superpowers and demonic possessed individuals or, you know.
No, but they're metaphors. They're metaphors for the real world.
Right, humanoid robots and stuff like that. But so we right now require individuals to register weapons, specifically guns. Though I'm sure there may be other things that you have to register. I don't know. You know, I mean, I guess if you had something more than a gun, some other kind of weapon, do you have to register your hands as lethal weapons?
I don't. Just my thumb, my left thumb. That's the only thing. Your left thumb. I have to register that. My right thumb is way too powerful, so it.
Presidio?
Yes, I have.
Is that a Presidio joke?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Oh, my goodness. So anyway, so people have to register their weapons and stuff like that. And it's to ensure safety. But, you know, on the other hand, there's a lot of unregistered weapons out there. So how much safer are we by forcing the, you know, good people to register this kind of stuff?
Well, yeah, and again, kind of playing devil's advocate, I guess, maybe. I'm not trying to be controversial or anything like that, but from my point of view, I mean, if you look at this, the people that would register the weapons, or think about the Inhumans that would voluntarily register, are probably, or the majority of, not going to be the ones that you need to worry about being registered. It's the ones that don't want to register. It's the ones that keep themselves off that list or keep themselves from registering weapons. That are the ones that are doing things with them that you probably don't want them to do.
Right. And then how do you know about them in the first place?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, there's just, it's a system that is imperfect, and I'm not sure that there's a solution for that. And we'll just stick with the you know, the TV show, and you don't have to send me your personal opinion letters on the real world and my opinions of that. But I mean, I guess you could. I don't mind. I don't mind discussing it. But so that's why, you know, I think this is one of the main themes of not just this little webisode series, but also something going on in the Marvel universe in general.
Yeah.
Whether are the Sokovia Accords fair? Are they? Is that constitutional? I think would be a really good way to describe that. Mm-hmm. Does that really support the freedom that we're supposed to have in this country?
So obviously, Elena is kind of grated on by Fitz, you know, because Fitz explains, it's like, oh, it's great, you know, this watch will record your movement down to, you know, the picosecond, we'll know within 6 feet or whatever it is of where you are. And it's like, that's, you know, it's also the you know, people being watched 24/7 by their devices, right? You know, I mean, right now I've got two devices on me and like three others around here that, you know, track all sorts of information about me. Now, I'm not doing anything wrong, right? Because, you know, if you're not committing crimes, it's like, why should you worry about that? But my data is is for my personal use only. I'm one of those people. I don't want to be sharing a lot of stuff with people. I mean, it's, you know, some people don't realize the amount of metadata that is collected from your computer and your phone and stuff like this. And it may not mean anything. And, you know, it's, but, you know, someone with bad intentions can get a hold of that. And we talked a little bit about this, I think, when we did our Captain America Civil War special. It's those people that, you know, don't have good intentions. They get a hold of that, and it's like, well, now they know your daily routine, and they can, you know, find out what you're doing. And, you know, if they want to, you know, break into your house or do something to you or whatever, you know, they can.
We've seen it on the show where they got a hold of that information about Inhumans, and was it the Watch Dogs? Or mm-hmm. The Watch Dogs funded by even more powerful and rich people to go after the Inhumans because of that information that was from the registration.
Right.
And
right.
They were killing them. I mean, if you weigh the positives and negatives of doing something like this, it, in my opinion, it really is it's imbalanced. And that's why Captain America and, you know, other people that were kind of siding with him and disagree with these things say that this is not an acceptable solution for it, because there's too many bad things that can come from it and not enough benefit.
Right.
And I believe, you know, things like this, and especially in the movie, I mean, I think the intentions were good. You know, I understand why it came about, but I don't think it's a solution.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be impartial, but I'm not doing a very good job.
Well, no, I mean, and, you know, for the purposes of the show, that's the universe that they live in, and we need to have that. And I can see, you know, like Fitz and Simmons may be looking at this and it's like, this is great, because now we know, you know, who has all these powers. So let's say there's a mission coming up and we need to have somebody with a certain power. Like, we know where they are, and so we can get them to help. Well, it's,
yeah,
you know,
or calculate exactly what they would have to do in order to save the day, right?
Right.
And I get that, right? And I don't think that the writers of any of these movies or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I don't think that they intend for the audience to agree with that. And that's why the heroes, you know, people like Coulson and Captain America and even eventually Iron Man, they're the ones that you're rooting for. They're the good guys, quote unquote. Right. And so if they're against something, the viewer of whatever you're watching is supposed to kind of be against it too, because you're putting yourself in the place of mm-hmm. the hero. Right.
Right. Right.
So I think that's, you know, I mean, and Mace, as much as we know about Mace now, we didn't, you know, at this point in the timeline, we know that he's an Inhuman, and so I don't think he has any negative intentions with the registration. But when you watch that scene with him, it makes you uncomfortable that she's signing it with every little step that she takes. You know,
yeah.
Every signature, every thumbprint, every eye scan, everything. You're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe she just let him do. Oh my gosh, she's got to do more. Oh my gosh, she's giving him this too.
Yeah.
Like it just makes you uncomfortable. Like the more they have, the more they could do against her.
Right. Wait. So you mean when you watch Captain America, you don't root for the Red Skull?
When I watch Captain America, I root for Ant-Man. Just.
I mean, like in the Karate Kid. I mean, you root for Johnny because I mean he is the Karate Kid. So it's like,
Him in a body bag.
All right. Elena very sneakily takes Mace's card. I still don't know how she really didn't think that one through. I'm not sure. You know, because I mean, he's going to reach for his card, and it's like, where'd it go? Because I was like, how's she going to get it back? And it's like, she wasn't even going to give it back. I mean, she was just going to take it. And she leaves apparently the page up on the computer in the lab. So May catches her, and I thought that was a great exchange. It again shows what a kind, motherly figure May is. She takes her to task, says, basically, you're a bad spy. And, like, I can't have you working with me because you're such a bad spy, except that I know what you did, and I trust you. I mean, really, that's what May's saying, is that she trusts her and then lets her go, hey, to Baltimore. I was surprised. I don't remember anything about this coming up in our local news here either. They must have kept it really quiet, is all I can say. Because I didn't hear about any watchdog group, you know, getting vaporized or anything. So,
well, no, they don't. They're trying to not cause panic. So, you said that, you know, she let her go to Baltimore. She didn't just let her go. She actually led her onto the plane to Baltimore, made sure that everything worked out just nicely for her. She was as much of an accomplice in this as Yo-Yo was.
Well, let me ask you this question, because this did occur to me. Was that Quinjet going to Baltimore and May just kind of led her on it so that she could go with it? Or did May find out what was going on, set up a flight to Baltimore, and then get Yo-Yo to follow her onto the flight?
I buy that. I think it might have been the second one.
Okay.
Either way, May was really crucial in getting her on that correct flight. So
yeah, I thought that.
You can see, you know, you're siding with May. May obviously doesn't trust Mace, which we knew anyway from the beginning of the season. It's interesting for me to ask the question: when is breaking the rules the right thing to do? Right? These are clearly. I mean, they're clearly breaking the rules. These are rules that would get them kicked out of S.H.I.E.L.D. They're not following the rules at all. They're doing whatever they want to do.
Right, right.
I mean, he specifically told her what to do if they wanted to go after Ramon, and she ignored that, did it on her own.
While wearing her new watch, which was tracking this, I mean, you know, she was going to pay the price because there was no way for her to avoid that. So, like, I mean, it's...
But
you know,
she believed it was right. She believed that it was the right thing to do. In her heart, she truly thought that she was being the hero, that she was bringing down somebody that must be brought down. So I think she knew there'd be consequences, but it was worth it to her.
It was at that time, but you know what they say, when you... what is it? Revenge is a dish best served cold, and when you have... revenge in your heart, you might as well dig two graves. Those are the sayings that always seem to come up in different shows, because, you know, she was going to basically take down this bad guy, but she was also going to destroy her own career or life, you know, in some fashion.
Yeah.
And obviously she realizes quite, you know, well into this mission that it was not the right thing to do. And, you know, I don't know that she would have gone ahead and killed him. I'm trying to think ahead as I'm watching the episode, and I'm like, all right, you know, she's going to put the gun down and then he's going to go for it and they're going to struggle and he's going to shoot himself or something like that. How they took care of it, I thought was much more clever to have, you know, this watchdog try to shoot her and it be a crossfire. And it's like, of course, because, well, she's superpowered. She can move out of the way of a light beam very quickly and whoops. So,
yeah, well, it begs the question, though. She's fast enough. I think she could have gotten him out of the way as well, but
she probably could have.
So
I don't think that was on her mind.
No, I don't. I mean, I think she'd made the decision to not kill him, before
the
guy fired.
But she made
the
decision to not save him too.
Right. So it was, but it was like, I was going to say, it was still on her mind of, well, you know, I mean, this guy deserves to die. He's a bad, bad man. And, I think she's kind of let it happen.
Yeah, I always find in TVs and movies when, you know, it seems rare especially in superhero shows that your hero actually kills the bad guy. That usually it is something that the bad guy does that causes their own demise, whether it's their death or just their plans to falter. But I'm always impressed by the choice that the character has to make when they usually choose not to kill, but then they choose not to save. Because this, you know, the antagonist needs to get their comeuppance in some fashion. And it's always an interesting, discussion point, I think, for these kind of shows. So I thought I thought it was interesting. So.
That's one of the most important themes in any comic book, I think, from the history of comic books, is whether or not the good guy should take out the bad guy.
Yeah. One other thing I wanted to add about the show or these six episodes, I thought usually when they do these, it's on a tighter budget. And I think it's usually done by a team that is not like the main team that does your episodes because they're busy doing the regular episodes. And it's easy to get an actor to come in on a day that they're not working, Natalia would be, because she wasn't in, you know, that many episodes in the first half of the season. So they can be shooting this. But the fact that each episode had a different character or characters from the season. We had Coulson and in the first one, we had Mace and Mac in the second one, we had Fitz and Simmons in the next one. We had Daisy in the first one and we had Daisy in the last two. We had May in the middle there.
Uh-huh.
They had every actor showed up and it could have felt really cheesy to me, but I saw what they were doing and I thought it added so much more continuity to it because of course she would be interacting with the characters that she interacts with on the show. She hit every character, you know, and touched base with every character throughout the series. So that could be a little, awkward, but I thought they pulled it off really nicely.
I agree with you. I enjoyed it a lot. I thought it was a very fun little series to watch. It was a nice little extra on a very, very long break. So it gave us some good points to talk about. So
yeah. Anything else that you wanted to cover out of the main parts of the show?
You know what? One other little thing was about that pin that Coulson gave her. It seems like a big deal. You know, I mean, he gave it's an important piece in his collection from Peggy Carter herself, and he's given it to Yo-Yo. So obviously she is important to him, and I'm wondering if that pin will ever show up again.
Well, she kind of presents it to Quake, to
Daisy
at the end there. Yeah. And it did seem really important because it was in the first episode and they brought it up again at the end of the episode. So yeah, I'm kind of wondering about that. If maybe, I know what they're going to do with it. So this is LMD, the next, you know, bunch of shows or next bunch of episodes are called LMD. So maybe it'll just be down to Daisy and, she takes the pin and she like jams it into Ada and it short circuits her at the last moment, right before she like kills everybody.
Saves the day.
Yeah. And it's like, wow, I'm so glad I had this. And if you want to find out more about this, watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Slingshot on ABC.com and YouTube. So, yeah, that'd be pretty cool. Oh, and the whole bit about Fitz and Simmons, apartment hunting, in like the second or third episode of the season, was set up here where Yo-Yo kind of suggests that they maybe should get an apartment off campus, and Fitz just threw such a dirty look. That was really funny.
Why does he want to get an apartment with her? Come on, Fitz.
Yeah.
You've spent all this time trying to get to her, and now you're getting cold feet.
Well, you know, because I think he doesn't, he knows it's going to take her a while to find something with that perfect breakfast nook, right? Because that was the whole thing. So, all right. Few references in here. Some other stuff that got mentioned. Really, a lot of this was up front. They name-checked Peggy Carter and Sokovia Accords. The raft was mentioned, which was nice that Mace explained that it wasn't really a boat, more like a prison in the middle of the ocean, you know, whatever. And Secretary Ross from Civil War. We saw the Watchdogs again. We got a name check for the Secret Warriors. And we got a cameo from Stan Lee, which was a picture in Coulson's box, which... It's like gratuitous insert, and oh look, it's Stan Lee, the big picture of him right there. It wasn't even kind of partially hidden. It was just, I thought it was terribly blatant, but
I'm all for it, man. You get Stan in there as long as he's around with us, because he's a pretty old guy. So
hey, I've heard he's filmed so many of these cameos in advance, just in case.
I did too.
when he goes, that's gonna be a sad day. He's brought so much to the world of entertainment. I think it's great that Marvel is, you know, making a thing about him, having him do these cameos and stuff like that. It's really cool. So
me too.
Well, hey, thanks for taking time out of your maneuvers to finish talking about Slingshot with me, and we will return next week for a regular episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files as we discuss the new episode, the first episode of LMD called Broken Promises. Next week, same S.H.I.E.L.D. time, same S.H.I.E.L.D. channel.
That's right. And hey, if you guys enjoyed this little extra episode or any of our episodes from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., please, we'd love to have some feedback from you on iTunes. You can contact us by email. Send it to shield@randomchatter.com. Also, we are on Twitter @AgentsPodcast, or head over to our Facebook page where you'll find interesting links or pictures from the episodes or other things that we come across. You can find us at facebook.com/AgentsPodcast.
You can also check out the other shows that Josh and I host here at randomchatter.com, including Green Justice and Arrow Podcast, which will be returning in about 2 weeks. And Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast, also which will be returning in about 2 weeks. The shows are also available in the iTunes Store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please be sure to tell your friends about us. If you know people that watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and they haven't seen Slingshot, remind them about it. There's still time to watch it before the new episode comes back. I don't know how much connection there's going to be, but it should be pretty cool. And if you've been enjoying this episode, just tell your friends about it. So for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, this is Jay.
And this is Josh.
Signing off from Level 7. This podcast is not endorsed by ABC Television or Marvel Entertainment. The official website for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can be found at www.agentsofshield.com. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and related elements are copyright Marvel Entertainment, LLC.
Transmission terminated.